say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life and my faith get stronger. Amen. Give the Lord a good shout. Would you, church? Come on, give him your best shout. Amen. Open your Bible with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're in a series this month on Pray First. We're talking about the importance of prayer. And you know, there's no way, church, in this month can I cover every aspect of prayer. Jesus, he taught about prayer more than any other subject. Jesus, more than any other subject, he taught on prayer. In 40 years of ministry, in my files of all my sermons, the largest file I have is on prayer. There's no way I can cover. That's why on Wednesday nights, I'm teaching something totally different than the weekends on prayer. There's no way I can hit it all. So I'm praying, and you're praying with me, right? Because it's partnership, right? And I'm praying that God will just lead me for the season our church is in, the season that you're in, what we need to hear about prayer. Give us a fresh revelation of the season we're in, of the prayer that we need to know, have, operate in our life every day right now. So that's what I'm praying for. I know that's what you're praying for, and I'm believing God in Jesus' name. Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is talking to God. You and I need to have a time every day, a place every day, and bring a Bible. You know, I want to encourage you to go on this journey with me this year on our 21-day fast, then make it a habit to go through the Bible with me, the chronological Bible. But it's so important that you and I understand that when we pray, we're talking to God. But when you read the Bible, God's talking to you. When we pray, we're talking to God. But when you read the Bible, it's God talking to you. I got up this morning at 2 o'clock, haven't been back to bed, couldn't sleep. You know what I've been doing all morning? I've been just listening to the Bible all morning, just listening to the Bible before I came to church. Because I wanted to feed my spirit. I wanted to have something to give to you. Is that cool with y'all? Amen. So we're talking about pray first before you worry, before you freak out, before you do something that you would regret. Pray and ask God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll direct your path, crown your path with success. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about prayer and fasting. Beings, we're starting this Thursday, the 11th. And so I want to talk about prayer and fasting because prayer is boosted through fasting. Prayer is boosted. Your prayer life will get a boost through your fasting. And I want that to happen for you. So look with me in Matthew 6, because I don't want your life to be mundane. Is that okay? I want you to have an exciting, abundant life. How many of you, I like Coca-Cola. Does anybody like Coca-Cola besides me? Yeah? And you know, I like Coca-Cola, and I like cold Coca-Cola. Now, when it's frozen ice, but I like it when it's on the verge where you put it in the freezer, in the fridge, and it's not iced up yet, but it's just about there. It's just ice cold. Y'all like it that way? And then let's see how many weird people like your pastor. Then I like to snap the top, you know, like you do on your snap the top, you know, and then I like to put peanuts in it. Anybody like to do that? Oh, we got a bunch of weird people like their pastor in this service. At Saturday night, 5 o'clock, a whole bunch. 9 o'clock, they all looked at me like, you're weird, pastor. But I like to go out there in the fridge in the garage and get that ice cold Coca-Cola. I like to snap that top and put peanuts in it. Boy, I just really enjoy it. But you know, when I go out in the garage and I get that ice cold Coca-Cola, and when I snap that top, I'm listening for something. I'm listening for a fizz. If there's not a fizz and it's flat, I take it in the kitchen and I dump it all out in the sink, throw it away, because I don't want a flat Coke. I'm going somewhere now. I want a Coke with some fizz. So I go back out and I get another one and I snap the top and I'm listening for what? A fizz. If it don't have no fizz, it's going in the garbage can because I don't want a flat Coke. Well, I don't want you to have a flat Christian life. I don't want you to have a stale life, stagnant life, be stuck in your Christian walk. I want you to have an exciting life that's full of fizz serving the Lord. Now, how do you go from stuck, stagnant, and stale? How do you not live a flat Christian life and have a life that has a fizz? Here's the key word, through surrender. All those words start with S for all you educators. So you surrender. Today, if I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I've been stuck, life is stale, stagnant, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, that I can change all that by surrendering my life to God through prayer and fasting. Fasting sends a signal to God, God, I am serious. God, it hurts enough, I gotta change. Or I want it bad enough, God, I am going to change. God, I'm gonna do it differently this year so I have different results this year than last year. And that's what prayer and fasting says to God, signals to God that you and I, we are passionate, not passive. We are pursuing an abundant life that Christ died for you and me. The crowd doesn't have the answers you're looking for today. I'm going to say it again. The crowd doesn't have the answers you're looking for today, but Christ does. He has every answer. He has every solution to every problem, everything that's stressing you out, freaking you out. God has the answers. God has the solutions. And when we pray and when we fast, we're tuning in. We're getting in the frequency. We're disconnecting from the world so we can connect to God and get clarity for the next step and they'd be empowered to take that step. Are you ready for the journey? Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise today. Amen. So let's look at it. Matthew 6. Now, these are the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They're attitudes of a believer. So Jesus, if you have red letter edition Bible, this whole chapter 6 is red letter. So Jesus is talking. So I want you to look at Matthew 6 and verse 3. Matthew 6 and verse 3, Jesus said, "And when you doest alms, make sure that let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Verse 4, what he's talking about, giving. Alms is giving to the poor. So Jesus is talking about giving. He's talking about a healthy habit of a believer. And that is to develop the habit of generosity. Develop the habit of giving. But then he goes on to say, watch your motive behind your giving. If you want a harvest, a hundredfold return, if you want results, if you want benefits and blessing in your giving, make sure your giving is worship. It's an act of worship. But what I want to bring to your attention is notice he doesn't say if you give. He doesn't say if we give. He doesn't say if we give on Sunday, if we give on Saturday, if we give on Wednesday. He said when you give. Not if, but what? When. So it should be our lifestyle. It should be a part of our life. It should be a major part of our life, not if, but when. Then look with me in verse 5, red letter. Jesus is still teaching. He's talking to the disciples. He's at the Beatitudes. He's on the side of the mountain of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, and when you pray, not if, but when. So prayer should be a habit. Giving should be a habit. If I want to be a healthy Christian, if I want to be passionate, pursuing God's best, then I want to do it God's way. So he says, and when, not if, in verse 5, you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogue, pray long prayers so that others will see them. They'll be seen of men. So notice, number one, Jesus said, not if, but when you give. Right, church? Number two, and not if, but when you pray. And then look with me, number three, in chapter 6, look at verse 16. 6 and verse 16. And he says, moreover, when you fast. If you underline in your Bible, I'd underline those three sayings. Not if, but when. So as a Christian living in 2018, I should have a habit of being a giver, being a prayer person, a person of prayer, and incorporate into my life fasting. Now, the Pharisees at this time fasted every Monday and they fasted every Thursday. And they would go in the streets of Jerusalem and they would look sad with a sad countenance and they wanted the attention of men. So let's look at it. Verse 16, Jesus said, when you fast, not if, when. Don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance. So let's look at the response of an opposite attitude. So for not to be like them who are portrayed as sad in fasting, you and I, when we fast starting Thursday, we should have a joyful, cheerful countenance because we're expecting God to reward our fast. We're going into this fast with spiritual goals. One of mine is debt cancellation for you. We should go into this fast with expectation, spiritual goals, excitement, confidence, faith, believing that when we come out of it, that we're going to see breakthroughs that we've been believing for. Can I have a yes in the house today? All right. So he says there again, don't be sad, but be cheerful. And then he goes on down here. Look with me at verse 18. That they appear not unto men to fast when you fast, but unto the Father. So we're not fasting for men. We're fasting unto the Father. We don't want man's reward. We want God's reward. So he says, when you fast, verse 18, you appear unto men to fast, but you're fasting unto the Father, which is in secret, and your Father, who? Our Father, Father God, sees you in secret. He will reward you openly. He will reward you openly. When we fast with the right motive to get closer to God, to find freedom, discover our purpose, make a difference with our life. When we fast with the right attitude, the right countenance, the right perspective, God says, expect Him to reward you openly. Are you ready for God to take you to a level you've never been in before in 2018? Are you ready for some fog favor of God on your life? It's been good, but it's going to get better. Amen? It's been good, but it's going to get better. So there are rewards. Everyone say rewards connected to a right kind of fast. Now, I'm not going to go there today. It's not my assignment. Kim alluded to it, but if you're a note taker and you're a Bible student, write down Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 12. Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 12. There you'll find 13. How many? 13 rewards of a fast. You'll find 13 promises, 13 rewards, 13 benefits and blessings of a God kind of fast. So what that means is you need to familiarize yourself with it so that you can meditate on those, so you can believe for those, so you can receive those. You say, Pastor, it sounds good, but you know, Pastor, it's hard for me to believe God for healing in my body. Or it's hard for me, you know, Pastor, I can believe for finances, but I have some relationships that I need restoration, and I just can't believe for that restoration. You know, Pastor, I can believe for restoration, but I just can't believe for the job of my dreams. You know, I just can't believe for that. Let me show you. If you're having problems believing a promise, then you need to start meditating on that promise. You know, you don't believe a promise just because you hear it. You believe it once you've meditated on it long enough to believe it. If you're struggling with one of the 7,000 promises in this book, then the key to your struggle is spend time meditating on that verse. For example, Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for God? Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for God? Fill in the blank. The answer is no. So you take that verse in our 21-day fast starting Thursday, the 11th, and you begin to chew on it, you begin to declare it, you begin to envision it, you begin to say it, you begin to meditate on it, and through meditation, you begin to believe it. And when you believe it, you begin to activate it. So through believing, through meditation comes activation, comes application, comes abundant life. You'll never have abundant life till it's working in your life. It won't be working till it's activated. It won't be activated till you believe it. And you'll never believe it until you do the work, put in the work to meditate on it day and night, night and day. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. That's the formula, that's the sequence, that's the pattern. Pastor, you know, I've been in church all my life, and I hear all these verses, but I struggle with them. I can't see myself. I just don't see it happening. It's because you're trying to believe it, you're trying to take a hold of it without putting in the work of meditating on it day and night, night and day. So look what he says here. He says, he rewards you openly, and the rewards are found in Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 13. And tell me, how many are there? 13 rewards. Now, I want to give you a story in the Bible of one of these rewards, what it looks like, and how it happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Would you go there with me? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, prayer and fasting. You know, Kim and I, in 1979, we moved to Moberly, Missouri. That's north of Columbia. It's between Columbia and, you know, Kirksville, right on Highway 63. And Kim and I went there and took that church. It had 50 people in it. And they had tried to sell that building forever and ever and ever. It was an Assembly of God church. And they were trying to sell it because they wanted to relocate with new property. They had tried for decade after decade to sell that church. Really, nobody wanted it because it was a small church. It was our first pastorate. It was a small church. It seated 100 people, but it was so small, there was no parking lot. You parked in the street, and you walked into the church. It was in a neighborhood that they called the slums in that part of Moberly at that time. Nobody really wanted to move in that area. Definitely nobody wanted to buy a church in that area. And so this is our first pastorate. So Kim and I, we felt led by the Holy Spirit to fast. I fasted for 3 days with just water for the cell of that church. And you know what? On the third day, I can still remember it. Now, God gets all the glory. Amen. But on the third day, it was in June, I got out of my car, I was walking up the sidewalk to the front steps that were all broken in that old building. A gentleman yells at me and says, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "I may be." Depending on what he was looking for, praise the Lord. He said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want to sell this building?" I said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" I know I didn't say that. "Yeah, we want to sell it." He said, "I have a buyer." Folks, within a week, it sold. Cash sell. What they couldn't do for decades was done in a three-day spirit-led fast. And they could never get a loan at the bank. We got a loan at the bank. We relocated, built a brand new building. It stands there today on Highway 63 between Columbia and Kirksville in Moberly, Missouri. How'd that breakthrough happen? Through prayer and fasting. To God be the glory. Can you give him the glory today? So here we have 2 Chronicles 20. We have Jehoshaphat. He was a king. He's probably called Fatty growing up. Had to deal with all the bullies at school, okay? Jehoshaphat, and he has God's people, and you know what's happening is he's surrounded by the enemy. He's outnumbered, odds are against him, he's overwhelmed, and he's got pressure on every side. Does that sound like you today? And so look what happens. It came to pass that after this also, that the children of Moab, everybody say Moab. say Moab, and the children of Ammon, say Ammon, say Ammon. Now you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? Names in the Bible have spiritual significance. Names in the Bible have spiritual significance. Notice two of the names of the tribes that are circling Jehoshaphat and God's people. These two cats came from their ancestor called Lot. Does anybody remember Lot in the Bible? If you don't remember Lot, you surely remember Lot's wife who looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah and turned into a pillar of salt. Remember the story now? And so Lot in the Bible, his name means compromise. His name means compromise. So what do we learn from this? Here's God's man of the hour. Here's the king, Jehoshaphat. He's leading God's people. He's surrounded. He's overwhelmed. He's outnumbered. The odds are against him. He has evil men, evil spirits with an evil plot to bring him down. How are they going to bring him down? Through getting him to compromise. Getting him to compromise what God has said to him. Your circumstances are yelling at you today to get you to back off of the prophecies and the promises that have been spoken over your life and into your life. I say, church, don't back up. Don't back down. I say, church, don't take less than God's best. I say, if God said it, if God spoke it, that settles it. Stand on it till you see it come to pass. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. So we learn from that, just like you and I. You know, things are delayed. We have distractions. We have detours. We have disappointments. The timing's off. We don't have the people. We don't have what we need to do what we're called to do. And the tendency is to waver, to wonder, to ask why. Folks, don't do that. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We need to speak the word, stand on the word, declare the word until it happens. That's what you call spiritual warfare. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you in Jesus' name. So here we see they come against him into battle. So they're going into a battle. I want to show you today how you can take the battle you're in and turn it into a major blessing in 2018. And I got good news for you. God's not going to take you out of your battle. Pastor, I'm going to throw my Bible at you right now. No! This is good news. He's not going to take you out of the battle. He's going to take you through the battle. He's not going to take you out of the battle because then he would lose testimony of his goodness and you would lose a platform of the goodness of the Lord on your life that gives you a voice in the city, in the nation. Come on, somebody. He's not going to take you out. He's going to take you through the battle. And in the battle, he's going to fight for you. All you got to do is hold your peace and stand on the word and give God praise. So they're in a battle, verse 2, and look what happens. Then there came some that they told Jehoshaphat, wow, there's evil men, there's evil spirits, there's an evil plot, there's an evil plan. They want to take you down. Next verse, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, but what did he do? He did what you and I are going to do Thursday. In fact, I've already started. But he's going to do what we're all going to do Thursday. What's that? We're going to seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? Remember, we want to have a fizz. We don't want to be flat. Right? How do you seek the Lord? You seek the Lord through prayer and fasting. You say, God, I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to connect. I'm serious. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being stale and stagnant and stuck and same old, same old. And God, so I'm going to seek you. Family, breakthrough always comes after you seek the Lord. Breakthrough always comes after you seek the Lord. Say it with me. Breakthrough always comes after you seek the Lord. And so how do you seek the Lord? You surrender. You surrender. You surrender your day, your life, everything. You surrender. And through surrendering, watch God turn it around in Jesus' name. So he began to seek the Lord. And what did he do? He did what Pastor Blunt. I thought, how audacious, Pastor, to call us to a fast. I don't want to fast. I'm going to feast the first month of the year. I don't want to fast. Who's he think he is? Folks, it's scriptural for a pastor, a man or a woman, pastor, to call the church to a corporate fast. It's scriptural. And so we're doing that. And so I'm calling all of you. You may think that you're hiding. You're not hiding. God knows y'all are here today. And everybody that ain't here or is hearing it, excuse my English, all you English teachers, they're hearing it online. They're seeing it through everything we've been talking about for the last month. Is I'm calling everybody here to a fast. Now you fast what God tells you to fast, okay? But look what he says. He called them to fast. So what did he do? He needed a breakthrough. He needed a miracle. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together. What did they do? They prayed. They fasted and they prayed. What's prayer? Talking to God. And you know what God does? God gives him a word. What's God going to do for you? God's going to give you a word. And y'all know later on in the chapter, you know, God gave him a word, and Jehoshaphat stood up and said, if you'll believe me, if you'll believe the prophet, you will succeed. You'll prosper. Do y'all remember that? In fact, let's just look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let me find it for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the word that the Lord gave him. He gave him a word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, he says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. Pastor, I have a hard time believing. Remember I told you, if you're struggling with believing, you need to go back and start meditating. Because only what you meditate on will you believe. And only what you believe will you activate. And only what you activate will you apply. And only what you will apply will take you into abundant life. Because you're not blessed in hearing it, you're blessed in doing it. Right, church? So he says, believe this. And so God gave him a word. Look at verse 21. Do you know what God told him to do? You know what God, you know what the word was in his prayer and fasting? He's outnumbered by thousands of enemy soldiers. He's outnumbered. The odds are against him. He's overwhelmed. What did he do? He sought the Lord. He called a fast. He began to pray, call on the Lord, ask for help. God gave him a word. You know what the word was? God said, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you a song. Oh my goodness. You mean God can give us a song that can deliver us? I mean, God can give you a song that can sing you out of barrenness into abundance. You mean that God can, there's a spiritual song. I think there's a verse that says singing into yourself, spiritual psalms, hymns, and melodies. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. So God gives him a song. Let's look at the next verse here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look with me, if you would please, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise and sing and go out before the army, and they were to sing. God gave them a song to sing, and here's what it was. He's sending the choir out. He's singing the singers out. Now, they needed a word. They needed a breakthrough. They're in a battle. God's not taking them out. God's taking them through, because at the end of this chapter, the valley of the battle was turned into the valley of the blessing, and they recaptured all the spoils of the enemy's camp. I call that restoration. How'd that come? Through prayer and fasting. What had come through? A song. Just a song. What was the song? Praise ye the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God gave him a song. Everybody say, a song. God gave him a song, and they began to sing the song. And you know what happened? It sent confusion against the enemy. And all those enemy tribes, they devoured themselves, destroyed themselves. Notice, God fought the battle for them. God didn't take them out. God took them through. How'd God get him through? Through prayer and fasting. What God do? Gave him a word. What was the word? It was a song. Nothing happened until they began to sing the song God gave them. When they began to sing that song, what did it do? It brought deliverance. Can I give you a few scriptures real quick? Okay, let's look at a few of these scriptures. You can just look on the overheads with me. Acts 16, verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. Do y'all remember Paul and Silas? Yes, sir. Now, I'm not talking about the Beatle Paul. Okay, but Paul and Silas at midnight is the darkest hour of the night. Darkest hour of the night. Are you in the darkest hour of your life? You want things to change? This is how it can change. And at midnight, what do? They begin to sing. They begin to sing unto the Lord. What happened? Prison doors open. God delivered them, right? Yeah. Here's another scripture, Job 35, verse 10. It says, but none saith, where is my God, my maker, who gives what? songs in the night. He'll give you a song in the night that will set you free, that will destroy evil men, evil spirits, evil plots, sent to destroy you. God will defeat them, and God will bring restoration and turn that battle into a blessing through our 21-day prayer and fasting together. Let me give you another scripture. Look with me in Psalm 32, verse 7. It says, "You are my hiding place." Folks, y'all need a hiding place. Y'all need a time, a place, and a Bible. Y'all need a hiding place. Y'all need a fortified place. My father, growing up, he's in heaven in our living room, and I'm growing up as a kid. My dad had a recliner at the end of the living room, and on one side was a stack of Bibles. On the other side was he would get those roasted peanuts, and he'd eat those peanuts. He'd pray, read his Bibles. That was his fortified place. John Osteen, who was my pastor, who ordained me, who's in heaven. John Osteen had a chair in the backyard under a tree. And he said, "Dave, I go out there and get my coffee in the morning, and that's my fortified place." What is your fortified place? Where it's just you and God, God and you, and you get the clutter out, you disconnect, you connect, you talk to him, he talks to you back through his word. And in that fortified place, he said, "You'll preserve me from all my trouble, and you'll circle me about with" what? Songs, songs that bring deliverance. I want you to believe God in this fast. God's going to give you a song. Now, if I'm lying, God, take me to heaven right now. You can ask both of my sons. You can ask my wife. Every morning in the shower, I'm singing. Now, they won't let me sing in the choir, won't let me sing on the front line, but I still come to church here. I'm not offended. I did get that in there. Praise the Lord. But I sing every morning. I sang this morning. Last night for 5 o'clock service, I sang in the shower. I sing every morning. You ask both my sons, you ask them about their dad growing up. They'll tell you, in the shower, he was singing unto the Lord. You know, there's songs that God has for you that you have yet to sing that will turn everything around in your life. And when you separate yourself, dedicate yourself, surrender yourself in this fast, God's going to give you a song. As the team comes out, 34 years ago, my youngest son, he's here today. Sat in the services last night, in this service today. He's married in the ministry, Stephen. But when we started this church, it was a dark hour. When we came here to start Church on the Rock, you know, there was no insurance, there was no building, there was no salary, there was no staff, there was no computers, there was nothing diddly squat. And we started Church on the Rock on the Holiday Inn, and Stephen was born premature, born a preemie. They took him down to St. Louis Children's Hospital, put him in an incubator, said he's going to die. He's on 100% respirator. Pastor Kim was in St. Luke's with toxemia poisoning. She was in the hospital over there. She said to me one day, I remember it was a dark, gloomy day. It was raining here. It was a dark hour. We were away from our family, away from our friends, had no money, had 50 people in the church. Didn't know where it was going from week to week, what to what. And here we are. And Kim called me from the hospital and said, "Dave, go pray for Stephen." So I went down, got in my car. I got a ticket on the way on Highway 40 because I was in a hurry. It was raining. It was dark. We were alone by ourselves. And I got a ticket. I got down there, walked into the room where they had all the preemies and the incubators. I walked in there and they had KC95 playing. Righteous indignation rose up on the inside of me. Y'all forgive me. But I screamed. I mean, all those little babies, those incubators, those preemies, those nurses in there, but they had blasting KC95, rock and roll. Music creates environment. I said, "Turn it off!" They did. They didn't kick me out. They turned it off. I went over, got the gown on, got the gloves on. They had the little things where you put your hands through those things into the incubator. Stephen's on 100% respirator. God gave me a song. I put my hands on him, and here's what I did. He had 100% respirator. That means you take it off, he's dead. They said he won't live, said he won't make it, it's premature. I put my hands inside that incubator and I said this, Stephen, which means a crown. Christopher, which means Christ-like. He's a few weeks old, he's premature. He's dying. I said, "Stephen, Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me," 34 years ago, I'm singing a song, "tells me so." I didn't say he was weak. I said, "You're strong. Within a few days, he was out of there, totally off. He's here today in the ministry. What was that? To God be the glory. God gave me a song that brought deliverance. My brother and sister, God's got a song. God's got a word that will rock your world upside right.